Good evening, everybody. Thanks so much for joining this P3 session on women's health. I am excited to talk to you about this because, as a species, we are very interesting. We sure do go through a lot. Oh my God, from birth to puberty to youth and into adulthood, into menopause, and then in senior years, like. It's an adventure every day being a woman. I don't know about men and how they deal with it, but being a woman is, yeah, it keeps you on your toes. Sometimes you want to just shoot somebody, and other times you're thinking, oh my God, this is the best ever. So let's talk about how we can move through the rest of our years, with joy. Remembering that you always want to focus on joy. I was talking to a couple of my private coaching clients today. One of them has type 2 diabetes, and her health practitioner told her that she's going to have to be on high doses of insulin for the rest of her life, and she's absolutely terrified. And so I said to her, no, that's not true. I have so many people in P3 who have proven otherwise. So she's dealing with the anxiety of the fear of being told that she has to be on this insulin forever. And we're working through it and it's coming down. But I told her, and so the other client, so she's working on diabetes. The other one is working on, she has a severe gut health problem. So I said to both of them, I want your job to be focusing on the joy. Look for joy, open the doors to joy. In the morning, start your day with joy. Tell the universe you are open to receiving and willing to accept all the joy that has been prepared for you that day. And then fill the day with joy, end the day with joy. And all the other pieces will fall into place. And even if things don't go the way you had hoped, because this is the natural law of life, because your focus is always on joy, because you're always rejoicing, then your body's automatic response will eventually become, it will, the response to the circumstance will be less harmful to you mentally and or physically because you've built that resilience, because now your mind has gone from decades of conditioning and training to think the worst, react in the worst, based on how you were taught, based on how you regulated your emotions and feelings. But now you're in a state, you're not a little child anymore. Now, as a grown adult, you can say, you know what? Yeah, it was in the past my way of responding to this particular type of situation. It worked back then, but it doesn't work right now. So I'm going to try to implement some of the new techniques that I've tried. And my whole point of the joy is that if you're constantly with awareness, filling your day with joy, then it automatically trains your brain. It's not your brain, sorry, your mind to seek out those options that keep the joy elevated. Do you understand what I mean? Thumbs up. Awesome, possum. Love it. Okay, so here's something. So, number one, practice number one is joy. Just underline it, put a star next to it. That's all you need for life, all the time. A good example of that. So the as I said to you before I hit record, we had a death in our family. My godfather, my dad's best friend, and my most favorite uncle, he passed away suddenly a couple days ago. And my whole life, he's always told me, he has his own children and they're older than me, but he's always said to me, despite having my own children, there's a little pocket in my heart with your name on it. And he's always, I've known him since I was, he knew me before I knew him. My furthest memory goes back to me being a very small child, but he lived with my parents before I was born. So, we were really, really close. And, I did not make the time this year to see him as I should have. So I am going through a little bit of guilt and remorse for taking for granted that he would be there when I had the time to go see him. And now he's gone. And I'm never going to see him in the same way ever again. But so in this chaos of tragedy that has me and my parents crying all the time, there's joy. Because if I take the time to remember not the loss of him, but the love of him and the way he lived his life with truth and honesty, and he was happy all the time. Oh my God. I think maybe my whole life I've seen him upset twice. Like that, he lived for 87 years. So rejoice. I'm rejoicing in the blessing that I had, despite my tragedy, despite my heartbreaking loss. I'm rejoicing in the blessing that I received to have him as my godfather, to have him as a second dad, to have him as a role model through which I could know how to conduct myself. So this is what I mean by joy and by life throwing you a curveball. It's not always going to be happy roses and rainbows. We cannot fully appreciate the roses and rainbows if there isn't some darkness or challenge to overcome. So lead with joy, fill the day with joy, end the day with joy, and everything will be well in your world, in this world. And that's the only world that really matters when it comes to control. So, with regards to women's health, starting off with joy, all of you know that I am an Ayurvedic practitioner, which means that everything I do is to support the mind, body, and the spirit as one whole unit. So, you've heard me talk about the various doshas or the energies of life. We're moving into, some of us are already there, and I'm moving into the Vata dosha, V-A-T-A, Vata dosha. And that is the calm, flowing, nurturing, community-driven stage of life. It's not the aggressive days of working to amass material needs, whether financial wealth, house, food, school, children, all that kind of thing. We're moving out of that and into a beautiful flow of calmness, of serenity, of contentment, and self-reflection with regards to self-care. That's this Vata. And like the last, if you take your entire 100 years that the human body was made to exist or survive, the Vata dosha is like the last third of it. So what does the Vata dosha need to stay in balance, with balance? To start with regards to food, we want to keep the foods moist, warm. I hesitate to say soft because I don't want you to misinterpret that and think that it's mush. I mean the opposite of rough. For example, cauliflower broccoli, kale, cabbage, all the cruciferous vegetables, they're very rough and dry. So they are the opposite of what the Vata dosha needs at this time in our life. But we can't avoid them, nor should we, because they're extremely important for reducing inflammation, chronic inflammation throughout the entire body. So the way to have these rough vegetables is to apply them in a moist application. So moist means high water foods, lots of fruits, lots of vegetables. Moist also means soups, stews, moist casseroles, chilies, things like that. Moist also means ripe fruits. So not frozen mango from Costco. Eat ripe seasonal fruits. So when mango comes into season in Toronto, in Ontario, then eat it. Frozen blueberries, okay, because they're picked at the height of ripeness, but mangoes are picked green. They're not picked at the ripeness. Frozen pineapple, if we could get it fresh, it would be better. Again, seasonal. So looking for warm, so cooked Vata dosha in this stage of life. What is most beneficial for keeping our mental and physical health in check is more cooked food than raw. So you know how throughout the winter season I've been saying no raw foods, but if you have to have something raw, have it at lunchtime. So for the rest of unless you move to a tropical country, for those of us who live in the Great White North, follow that pattern of fruits in the morning, stewed or cooked if you want, or just raw as they are, but good high water fruits. Any raw foods you want to have lunchtime, dinner time, try to keep it cooked foods. If you absolutely insist that you have to, and you live in North America, and you absolutely insist that you have to have a salad for dinner, make sure that there's a nice oily dressing that goes with it, a good olive oil based dressing. So Vata dosha also not only likes moist, warm, cooked foods, it also responds well to oil. So remember, the qualities of the Vata dosha are dry, brittle, rough. It does not respond well to chaos. It likes, and I'll get to that in a minute, the things to avoid. So knowing if you forget what the Vata dosha is like, think of fall. Crisp, dry air, brittle leaves, dry skin. So what do we do when we have dry skin? We rub some kind of oil on it, some kind of essential oil or cream. So same thing to balance the Vata dosha because it is naturally dry and this is the season of our life, we got to put moisture in. So if the food that you're going to have, raw vegetables are dry. So if you're going to have raw vegetables, then they have to be accompanied with some kind of oil-based dressing. Does that make sense? Okay, awesome. Root vegetables are really great to have in the Vata season of your life. They're exceptionally good to have with dinner as well. I know a lot of you have come from Weight Watchers and other diet centers where potatoes have been shunned in the past, but you know, in P3, we don't shun food. There's no fear around eating a potato, and potatoes are a beautiful, beautiful, satiating, calming, nourishing, nurturing vegetable. Just make sure it's not loaded with cream, sour cream, cottage cheese, or any form of dairy. But you can absolutely have a potato with dinner every day if you want. It's not going to make you put on weight. Just, you don't want to eat a little honking piece of potato. Just a normal person-sized potato is fine. But experiment with yams and various kinds of sweet potatoes and other root vegetables, turnips and parsnips. Experiment. They're great for the Vata dosha. Whole grains, specifically rices, oats, and wheat, are really great. Millet is one of those dry foods. So it doesn't mean that you can't have quinoa if you're a quinoa fan. Great. It means don't have make sure that it's in something like a quinoa salad or a that has lots of high water vegetables in it, or like a tagine with nice spices and a nice sauce or something. Lentils. Try to favor lentils more often than you would beans and peas. So, for example, chickpeas are very dry. It's everybody's favorite. So, anytime you're making chickpeas, make sure it's in some kind of water solution, in a curry with a sauce. Something like that. Put it in a chili, put it in a stew. It's a very dry food. So, having roasted chickpeas on a regular basis, that's not going to work out for you. Having it now and then, sure, no problem. You want to use it as croutons? Go ahead. We're talking of when, remember when what I first taught you at the very beginning was. Consistency means everything with regards to healing or unhealing. So, everything I've said to you doesn't mean that you can't have frozen mango. Just don't be consistent with eating frozen mango every day because it's not going to benefit you. You want to have a frozen mango smoothie tomorrow? Do it. Should you have frozen mango for the next month every day? No. That's what I mean by being consistent, but also being reasonable and using your common sense. So yes, lentils tend to be a little have a little bit more moisture in them than the other legumes. That doesn't mean you get to avoid the other legumes. You absolutely do not. You just don't need to have them. You get, just means that you'll be experimenting with different foods. Nuts and seeds, dark meat over white meat. I know. Oh my God, what do you mean? I don't have to buy chicken breast for the rest of my life? No. Did you know that dark meat is actually more anti-angiogenic than white meat? What does that mean? It means that if somebody has cancer and there's a tumor somewhere, that the dark meat. If they're not my client, my cancer clients only are completely plant-based. But if they're somebody else's client and they want to have some animal-based product, dark meat has the enzymes in it to stop the flow of blood to the tumor. That's what anti-angiogenic means. So if you have a friend or relative who has cancer who is not plant-based and they're insisting on eating white meat, tell them dark meat's better for you. So it also tastes better. And because and why dark meat over white meat for Vata dosha? Because it has a little more fat in it. It's not, and you would know that yourself. I haven't eaten meat in 45 years, more than that probably by now. You would know from cooking it, those of you who do eat meat, you could see when you're cooking the dark meat releases more fat than a chicken breast does. Chicken breast is like sand. So, if you want to have chicken breasts or any other form of white meat, make sure again there's some kind of moisture or oil-based food going with it. Does that make sense? Warm water. Vata dosha likes warm water all the time. No cold food, no cold drinks. If you're going to have ice cream, do it, enjoy it, do it with awareness. Be aware of the consequences of eating the ice cream and then enjoy the damn ice cream. I would. I do. But consistently warm water to balance the ice cream. Because the ice cream is an occasional little treat. The warm water is the consistency. So I said nuts and seeds. Why nuts and seeds? Because they are naturally oily. Also olives. But see, that's a challenging one. Olives are sour. Vata dosha does not respond well to sour, but olives naturally have oil in them. So we make it middle of the road. We use olive oil. And if you're like me and you like olives, you have them now and then. No big deal. And then you'll pair your sour olives with something sweet, like potatoes. That's where you get the balance, right? If you want to have something that you know is going to throw off the balance, then you throw in something to support it. Ghee, GHEE, ghee. One of the best forms of fat that is healthy for you that you could possibly have. If you can tolerate it, because some people can't. A little bit in your pot, just a teaspoon when you're going to go cook instead of olive oil now and then. Great. It acts as a sealant in your stomach and in the lining of your gut, amongst the many, many other things that it does. It's highly nourishing. But it must be desi ghee. Desi is DESI, meaning that it must come from a cow's milk, not vegetable. Vegetable ghee is not the thing for you. Honey, raw unpasteurized honey, so healing, nurturing, calming, soothing. Dates and date water, also really good. That's it for the food side of things for now. Scheduling relaxation into your day. Excuse me, just one sec. Scheduling relaxation. Dude, when I read that in my research, I was like, what does that mean, schedule relaxation? You mean not work? What does that mean? So I'm having a bit of a challenge with that one myself, but it makes absolute sense because the Vata dosha responds really well to routine, really, really well. It does not respond well to chaos. It does not respond well to chaotic thoughts, a chaotic household. And by chaotic household, I mean everybody's scattered doing different things and you're being pulled in multiple directions, that kind of thing. That's chaos. And then it elevates the cortisol, it elevates the insulin, it elevates anxiety. Anxiety is what aggravates the Vata dosha. So scheduling relaxation in your day, it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be a whole hour if you start to panic after 10 minutes of being quiet. You could just start with 10 minutes of walking in a garden, sitting outside and listening to nature, sitting inside and listening to the rain. It doesn't have to be hours and hours. It could, if you're not good. Kathy Leonetti says restorative yoga. Love it. Great choice. I'm going to answer. I see all your comments in the chat, and I am going to answer them as soon as I'm done. So figure out, what does relaxation mean to you? Does it mean that you have to veg out? No, you could do active relaxation. What does that mean? Active relaxation means that your mind is at ease, that you're content. Marilyn says listening to calming music. Absolutely. It could be anything that brings you joy, that doesn't require your brain to be on, to think through and solve problems, to just enjoy the moment, reading a good book. Absolutely. Staring at your library and looking at all the books that you want to read or have read. 5 minutes of just doing that, reminiscing. Where did you buy these books? How much joy did they bring you? I'm just talking about me personally. This is what I do. Because I do have a lovely library. So scheduling relaxation in your day. For those of us who are for those of us who are still working full time, it may be a bit of a challenge, but hey, as Antonetta says, we can do hard things too. So figure it out and get it done. Low impact exercise. That could be anything that's flowing, fluid, gentle, swimming, water aerobics, Tai Chi, Qigong, Pilates, yoga, walking, rowing, dancing, Zumba, anything that's going to get the body moving, but without elevating your cortisol, like high intensity workouts, very aggravating, especially if you're in the menopausal years. Bad decision. Strength training, yes. We have to do that at least 3, if not 4 days a week, half an hour every time. Strength training, resistance training. So whether you're using free weights or kettlebells or Pilates or yoga, and you're doing it for flexibility, you're doing it to build bone mass and strength. All of these things are important, obviously, but because high intensity workouts tend to send us into fight or flight mode, that aggravates the Vata dosha. So we don't want that. We want things, again, that bring you joy, that are low impact. Also, daily oil massage. If you're in Feed Your Joy, I've talked about this in abundance. If you were in my gut healing course, master course, I gave you the information on what that looks like. But yes, doing a self oil massage in the morning and or the end of the day helps to relieve and release anxiety, helps to calm your muscles, helps to bring your nervous system back into balance, into homeostasis, and it keeps it. And then there's the oil side of it, actual oil, moisturizer going into the skin. So that helps to keep the Vata dosha calm. Humming. If you like to hum a tune, there's so many benefits to humming, especially for the thyroid. So if you tend to be a little high strung, humming is a great, free, simple, easy way to get you to calm the fuck down. Herbs. Ashwagandha. It's just going to save the world. Ashwagandha for sure, if you're in your menopausal years, perimenopausal, or if you're post. We all need to be on ashwagandha. Turmeric, ginger. I can't talk enough about these herb, about these spices. As long as you are not on blood thinners, you can take turmeric curcumin supplements. If you're on a blood thinner, I don't advise it, and you should check with your health practitioner. But you can cook with it. Because remember, turmeric is very poorly absorbed by the body, and you'll never be able to eat the amount that would be enough to throw the blood pressure pills out of whack. It's that's where the supplements come in. Fenugreek, or the Hindi word for it is methi. Fenugreek is excellent for keeping your blood glucose levels stable. Keeping your blood glucose levels stable for the rest of your life has to be a priority. Whether you have insulin resistance or not, whether you have diabetes or not, keeping your blood glucose levels stable is important because when they're out of whack, it contributes towards cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes, high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, and so many other problems. So that has to be a priority. How do you keep your blood sugar level stable? If you remember from my diabetes, if for those of you who took my master course on diabetes, or if you remember the one class I did for P3 a couple of years ago, the key to keeping your blood glucose stable, two things, is one, keeping your stress levels at bay, finding a way to relieve your stress, and two, minimizing the amount of saturated fat that goes and fat in general, but saturated fat that goes into your diet. Chamomile or peppermint tea, really great for digestion and but just calming, soothing at the end of the day. Of course, you know the keys, teas, turmeric tea, bloatbuster for sure, without a doubt. Staying hydrated. I'll take a sip of water for that. Staying hydrated, super important. Water is always going to be your best friend, but it doesn't have to be boring. Put some fruits, put some herbs, put some spices, put some vegetables. Make it into a virgin Bloody Mary. Why not? It doesn't have to, if you don't like boring water, then put something in it to make it taste better. But make sure nature recognizes nature. It can't be crystal light and shit like that. It's got to be something natural. I already talked to you about blood glucose. Oh, of course, keeping your blood glucose levels stable also means that you're reducing the chance of developing a UTI. If later on in life you find that you're becoming more forgetful for any reason, or you find that you're getting a little bit confused at any point, checked to see if you have a UTI. Because many women that I personally know of have been misdiagnosed as having Alzheimer's or developing early onset Alzheimer's, when in truth and in fact, they just had a bad UTI. So don't ignore signals like that. If you just forgot where you put your keys, don't worry about it. If you find you're forgetting somebody's name who's you should know, that's a problem. So things to avoid, or things rather that will throw off your Vata dosha. Chaos, as I said, routine. Try to create a sleeping routine, an eating routine, waking routine, exercise routine. But at the same time, don't be so rigid that when life happens, you become anxious if you break the routine. The routine is just there to create stability for you and for your mind, because the Vata dosha likes predictability. So does your brain. High intensity workouts, as I said, not a good idea for this stage of our life. Excessive working out, meaning working out for several hours a day, really aggravates the Vata dosha. Skipping meals, eating less to achieve weight loss, these things shouldn't even apply to us anymore. After all these years of P3, nobody should be doing that shit anymore. Where am I? Oh, habitual repression of natural urges. That means something like holding your pee, holding your pee because you don't have time to go pee right now. That's some bullshit right there. You're talking about weakening your pelvic floor. That's not going to help anybody. So when you have to go, you have to go. Don't hold it. It's not good for you. But what if you have to fart and you're at work? Excuse yourself and go and fart in the bathroom. Everybody does it. It's okay. And if you can't make it to the bathroom and you got to fart, try to cough while you're doing it and just try to disguise it and maybe wheel your chair away from the guy you were sitting next to. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. And just point to him. Everybody will always believe that it was the guy who did it anyways. If you're in the room with a if you're in the room with another guy, they'll always believe it's a man who did it. And if you're at the beach and you're in the water and you need to pee, pee and then swim away from the pee. If you're in the water and all of a sudden it suddenly gets really warm, just know you're standing in somebody's pee. So maybe you should swim away. But if you think nobody pees in the water, you're fooling yourself. Everybody does it. Cold food, cold drinks. We talked about that already. Dry, rough, packaged foods. So packaged foods, and I'm not against it by any means. But if you're going to have popcorn, it's everybody's favorite. I love popcorn. Popcorn is excessively dry. All the what makes popcorn what it is by drying out the kernel, the food. So if you want to have popcorn, knowing that it is not supportive of your health at this stage in life, make sure that the rest of your meal was. Make sure that your meal contained a lot of fruits and vegetables. Make sure you had your water. Make sure you had a good dressing with your salad, and then go ahead and have your popcorn, no problem. Just be aware of how often you're having packaged foods. Understand that all the moisture that was originally in those foods that was beneficial for you is now gone. So if you're going to have them, then you have to compensate by making something to go with it that contains the moisture. Whether that moisture comes in the form of an oil or it comes in like a fat, it doesn't have to be oil, a good form of fat, or it comes in the form of water. Do we understand? All right, cool. I'm going to, I'm just reading Tracy's comment. I'm going to look at the chat. And if you want to, and I'm also going to, hold on, I'm going to change, remove the spotlight. If anybody has anything they want to ask or add to everything I've said, please go ahead and unmute yourself and go ahead and ask or drop it in the chat. I'm going to read in a second. So when we were, when I was talking about the loss of my uncle, Tracy said, I've been meaning to call my uncle for a month now. I'll have to do it on the weekend. Love what you said in the love of him. Your godfather sounds like a lot like my uncle. Girl, call your uncle. Don't wait. Do it. Then Marilyn says, problems with vaginal dryness in my senior years. Are creams okay or is there a natural aid? I understand the issues of vaginal dryness. I know some people who have tried some creams and it's worked really well. I know somebody who got a cream from her doctor that had, I don't know if it had estrogen in it. I think so, and it worked very well. Me personally, I would try natural, I would go the natural way first, and if that did not work, then for sure. Don't remain with the dryness. See your doctor and get the creams. So try some of the other things that I said first. Try adding more moist, high water or oily foods to your meals. Remember, avocado is a great source of oil, of moisture and of oil, and nuts and seeds. Try doing the self massage, the self oiling massage, and see if that helps first. And if not, get the cream because I know that works as well. When we were talking about exercises, Kathy Leonetti said restorative yoga. Marilyn said listening to calming music. Stacy said walking. I love all of that. Sandra said reading a good book. Barb asked, when do I take ashwagandha? You can take it in the morning for energy, and if you take it in the evening, it will help with sleep. So it depends on what you need it for. I personally take it both times of day. I don't need it for sleep, but I like the calming effect it has on my body. Kathy Leonetti loved my comment about farting with a man in the room and blaming it on him. Kathy also says, everyone pees in the water. Yes. Hello. Where have you been? Everybody does it. But not a pool. Tracy says, ocean or lake, but not a pool, I hope. Absolutely not. That would be so gross. Marilyn says, can't take any estrogen creams due to previous breast cancer. Ah, yes, that would make sense. So I would go the natural route then with the natural moisturizers, meaning the foods and the high water. Oh, Mar Tracy says, check, Marilyn, you should check with your doctor their new guidelines out for vaginal estrogen out there. Oh, awesome. I know there's some suppositories that are really safe now as well. So you could check that out. Absolutely. I'd follow what Tracy's saying. Barb says, so I know what to do at the time I take it. Stacy says, dog good to blame on farts. Totally. My dog used to blame me on his farts. It was the worst. He would give off these horrendously stinky farts and then look at me as if I did it. I'm like, dude, even you can't stay in the room with your own fart and you're blaming me. Jerry said, I forgot, is ashwagandha a pill or a powder? Oh, please, Jerry, please get the pill. The powder is a disaster. It's horrible. Always remember, ashwa means horse. Gandha means smells like, and it does. Marianne says she uses the powder herself. More power to you, girl, because I know you can't take pills. So, does anybody have any other questions they want to ask?
I do have a question. It's somewhat related to the topic at hand. I actually took some ashwagandha powder last night, and in the past sessions you've had, you'd like I can't stomach it. Like you said, it's pretty nasty. So I like literally put it in some like honey and put a little bit of oat milk just to thin it out a little bit, and made like a little paste mixture out of it, and I just like downed it, just like if I was downing something that was
Yeah.
tasted gross. And I've not been feeling well lately, so I've been having a major issue sleeping like I have had in the past. So I had that, and then I had my magnesium, which is also a powder, and I have that as a drink before I go to bed. And I again, I'm like, maybe it was too much, and I sometimes use sleeping pills when I have like massive issues with sleep. And I took one of those last night, and I was in bed for 7.5 hours. Like, I actually was in bed for 7.5 hours, and I woke up in the morning. I literally had to not work the first part of my shift because I was exhausted. I mean, I don't know if it was too much all at once.
I think that was too much magnesium and ashwagandha and sleeping pill. You know what I mean? I think it should have been either magnesium and ashwagandha or sleeping pill.
Because I was just like, so I was almost worried because I couldn't concentrate. I literally could not keep my eyes open. Like,
Yeah.
I was exhausted, and I went back to bed and I slept for another like 2.5 hours. So I definitely got my sleep today, but I didn't know if it was because I just added too much stuff together at once.
Yeah, I think so. I think you just did too much at one time. That maybe are not complimentary, but maybe contradictory, if anything.
I just wanted your opinion on that. Thank you.
No problem. No problem at all. Darlene says, what are some uses for ghee? Anywhere that you're using butter, you could use ghee. Anywhere that you use oil, you could use ghee. So when you're going to make a stir fry and, or let's say, you want to pan fry some fried chicken, you could put some ghee in the pot instead of coconut oil. If you're going to make a curry, put instead of using olive oil, put a little ghee in it instead. Or if you toast some bread instead of putting butter, you could put a tiny little bit of ghee on it. It's sweeter in taste. So anywhere that you use oil or butter, you can use ghee as a supplement. Tracy says that ashwagandha does not agree with her. What do you mean by that? Does it keep you awake?
Diarrhea.
Wow. That's new for me.
Yeah,
Okay.
because several times after you mentioned
Yeah,
it, I
it just
tried
doesn't work.
it and then finally figured out what it was. And then I said, okay, I'll try it again. And I tried again. I said, no, it happened again. So
Okay. All
I'm pretty
right.
sure it's it.
Let's stay off of that for you then. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's a new one for me, but yeah, if you've tried multiple times and it's not working out, stay away. That's okay. You don't need to have it. It'd be great if you could, but if you can't, that's okay. Turmeric, ginger, frankincense, they'll all do similar things for you. Tulsi. Yeah, they're all adaptogens. All four of them are adaptogens like ashwagandha. So they'll all support you in different ways.
You say Frankenstein?
Frankincense, yeah. Like as an oil to
To
rub.
okay.
Like if anybody has fibromyalgia or any kind of muscle pain or joint pain or something like that, or I had some swelling the other day here under this gland, and that was hurting my ear, and I've been rubbing frankincense on it every day. If you have tendonitis, anything like that, frankincense will help because it's an adaptogen. Any other questions or comments? Everybody's good? Okay. Well, then I'm gonna stop the recording.